I'm Annie Bubinski from Microsoft, and we're here at CodeMash with David Giard talking about Azure Mobile Services today.
Yep, I'm doing a session tomorrow on what used to be called Azure Mobile Services is now called Azure Mobile Apps. And Azure Mobile Apps are a way of providing a back-end data store for a mobile application. When I say providing it, I mean that it'll create the database, you can add tables to that database, you can add data to those tables, and it'll expose it through a web service, through a REST web service, so it can be called by a lot of different mobile applications.
Awesome. Okay, so is this dealing with like SQL Server kind of information with the database?
By default, it's SQL Server. You can change that if you want to, because you have access to the code, you can modify that. But by default, it'll insert data into, I say insert, it'll insert, update, delete, read. We call that the CRUD methods, C-R-U-D, create, read, update, delete.
Right.
It'll do that by default with SQL Server, either using Node or using Entity Framework. But you can change that code, point to MySQL or even MongoDB or DocumentDB, whatever data store you want.
Awesome. Can you go a little more into detail about the CRUD method?
The CRUD stuff, the create, read, update, and delete. These are, if you deal with databases, that's the kind of stuff that you do. And the advantage of mobile services in Azure, mobile apps in Azure, is that it takes care of a lot of that boilerplate stuff. Because every developer that's building a data solution, they want to do a create and a read and update and delete, out of the box, they'll just create that for you.
Okay.
So you don't have to create that. You can spend your time instead of building, I mean, you can write that code yourself, but that time is probably better spent building the stuff that you want to build, the business logic that only you know about, not the boilerplate, I call it the plumbing stuff. Let the framework take care of that for you.
Right. So you can go back into your database and change the data and update and
absolutely,
and
yeah.
Do this kind
and you
of
can do
adaptation?
That from a remote application. So you could have a phone app, for example, that has, I don't know, let's say you have a game, for example, and you want to keep everybody's score in a common database. You want to share scores so that I can always see what your score is, or maybe a better solution would be, I want to always be able to see what the top 10 scores are.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Then one way to do that was we could have all the phones communicating with each other, but that's not very practical because, you know, one of those phones might be in Japan and one might be in Sandusky, Ohio.
Right.
A better solution is to store it out in the cloud.
Okay, I see. That's really
some common place, and always query that, always insert up into the cloud and always retrieve from the cloud.
That makes sense. I bet that saves a lot of time too.
Absolutely, yeah. It saves a lot of time and it's very scalable because it's in Azure. You can if suddenly your game takes off or your business application takes off and millions of people are hitting it simultaneously, then one server might not be enough. And with Azure, of course, you could scale out and add 2, 4, 8, 100, 1,000 servers if you want to. You pay for those, you're renting them, and when demand goes back down, you scale back down again. So it has that elasticity that's really nice for Azure, nice feature of Azure.
And that's interesting, too, that you can use it for so many different applications. You know, usually when I think of a database, I think of scientific data or maybe contacts or something like that. But you were talking about gaming, so it sounds like there's a lot of different applications.
And you could build you could build business applications or scientific applications. I imagine maybe an application where some salesperson is gathering order and customer information on their cell phone, their smartphone. It doesn't have to be a Windows phone. It could be an iPhone or an Android phone. They're saving that data in the cloud. Somebody in the back office is at a desktop PC and they're querying that information in real time to see, oh, we just got a new order in. And then somebody on the shop floor, maybe they have a tablet. Maybe they have an iPad or a Windows Surface tablet. And they're fulfilling that same information, you know, minutes after it's taken. The sharing that information really is enabled with the cloud.
And how does that work cross-platform wise, like if you're using a different type of device on one end and then a different type on the other end?
That is a great question. The reason it's so cross-platform is it's all exposed through a REST web service. And REST is just HTTP and JSON data, just text, just sending text over HTTP. It's fundamental level, at least in this implementation. Every platform can do that. You can write Java code to do that. You can write Ruby code to do that. You can write Python or of course, .NET code. Just about, you can write JavaScript code. You don't even have to have a back end. You can just have a whole thing running in a single page application in a browser. This is, REST is a standard. JSON is a standard. HTTP is a standard. All these, the beauty of exposing it through standards is that they can be consumed by all these different platforms and by all these different languages. So you're not restricted into what you can do, that you don't have to buy into the Microsoft stack in order to take advantage of the scalability, the reliability of Azure.
You can use whatever device you want.
Absolutely, on whatever language you want, whatever operating system you want.
Whoa, okay. And then do you need like some sort of translator on each side? Like how does that work?
So you would write, all you have to do is just make an HTTP call.
Okay.
And send JSON data.
So what
and
is there,
and there's, I'll tell you what, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no
this
problem.
Is so cool, I'm excited about it.
Uh-huh.
There is a even sample code generated by Azure mobile apps.
Uh-huh.
So if you're building an application, let's say for Android, well, I don't know anything about Android. I've never written Android app. It's all written in Java.
Right.
It'll generate sample code. Android has an SDK that will talk to the an Azure mobile app. And if you want to write raw HTTP code and you know, create an HTTP object and send it off, but the SDK helps that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's written in Java, then I might need a little hand-holding because I'm kind of a newbie in Java.
Right.
Well, this gives me a head start.
Okay,
great.
Right.
And same thing for iOS. It'll do it in Swift. It'll do it in Objective-C. Same thing for JavaScript. Same thing for C#. It'll build a universal application for you.
So where is that built? Where do you get the sample code from?
When you build your application in the Azure portal, when you create your Azure mobile app, then there's an option there. I think it says Quick Start, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where you have options to build a sample table, download some sample code, and you can take that code as is and modify it to suit your needs. By default, I think it's a to-do item list, a real simple thing. Or you can just take the look at the pattern and then copy that into your application.
It sounds great. Like it's really easy to get started for beginners.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So you don't need a whole lot of knowledge to get started. There's two advantages. One is that getting started for beginners is great. It's it has like a nice wizard that walks you through it. And the other is that if you're if you want to don't want to spend your, even if you know how to do that, you don't want to spend your time doing the plumbing code, the stuff. You want to spend your time on your business logic, stuff that only you can do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking to us about Azure mobile apps.
Annie, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.